Blog Talk Radio.
Turn me up a little bit.
Yo, turn radio.
Haha. What you know about it? What you know about it? I said it. Hop, the hip, and you don't stop. I rock on, baby, bubble to the boogie, the bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie.
See, you played
it
longer
at
that time.
No,
you played
it
longer
at
that time.
It is all in your mind. It is the same 25 seconds each week.
It is not. Anyway, hello, everybody. This is WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenitra Jordan. What's going on tonight, partner?
Nothing much. I am just getting more excited because this time next week we'll be almost Harlem. I'm sorry. Was that too much?
Harlem Book Fair next week. We will be there in the flesh.
I'm so excited.
And
I am
so hoping it doesn't rain, you know.
Well, that's why I told you I already got my perm so that if it rains on my head, I won't be too upset because it'll be, you know, fairly an old perm, so to speak, at that point in time. So I can afford some raindrops. Yes!
It's going to rain on your head.
You don't play. Well, it can rain on my head. Like I said, it'll be time for a new perm when I come back to Charlotte. So that's good. Let it rain on my head.
All righty then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be.
Fortunately, I don't have that problem.
No, you just don't have any hair.
No, I have hair. It's just cut close. But anyway.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah. We have a great show for y'all tonight. We have returning. Wow, so fast too, because she was on last week. Simply Shonda, author of Love and Snakes 2. We also have Antoine Floyd, author of Dope Fiction. And they're going to be joining us a little bit later, and they're going to discuss their new offerings and also, you know, what they had going on previously and what they're going to have going on in the future. And they're also going to join us for tonight's main topic, which is that we didn't get to last week because last week was off the chain. But we'll get to it this week. How do you know when a relationship is over? When do you know when to say when, pretty much? So we'll be talking about that. And Antoine and Shonda will be joining us, and they'll give their take. And you, the callers, can call in and give us your take as well. I'll have you coming up a little bit later. But first, we got something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. So KJ, spin the wheel.
You know, every time I spin that, it makes me think of Wheel of Fortune. You know?
Yeah.
I probably should get that, I should get that little bankrupt sign. So one day when you bother me to no end, I can. Anyway. All right.
Really?
So my first hot topic for today. All right, so you know all this crap going on with Donald Trump. So how about...
No, I don't know all the crap going on with Donald Trump, but go ahead.
We talked about it last week. You're just a turd, I tell you. All right, where he made the comment that Hillary Clinton, her immigration policy would let everybody come in, killers, criminals, and drug dealers. Well, now he's saying, I have a great relationship with the Mexican people. I'm reading his words directly.
Really?
I have a great relationship with the Mexican people. I have many people working for me. Look at the job in Washington. I have many legal immigrants working for me, and many of them come from Mexico. They love me. I love them. And I'll tell you something. If I get the nomination, I will win the Latino vote.
I have friends who are black.
And as far as like the comments that he made, he was asked if he felt like he needed to apologize. And he says, you know what? There's nothing to apologize. He says, all I did was say what everybody else was thinking, and so I'm not going to apologize for that. Yes, that's what he said.
Donald Trump is continuing to insert foot into mouth. So keep talking, Donald. Keep on talking. We're not worried about you winning the presidency. I mean, come on. The bottom line is this. Like, all this stuff is cyclical, meaning it just goes in cycles, and it's about time for the Republicans to take the White House, but I'm afraid that I don't even see a viable Republican candidate. I mean, how are they going to take the White House when Obama's term is up? I still don't see it.
Right, because they just have riffraff.
I know it's time for them. Yeah, I know it's time for them to take it, because generally after one party holds the White House for like 8 years, the other party always gets the nominee. You know, they always get it after the 8 years is up. But I just don't see
right.
it. I don't see, like who are they going to get? Mitt Romney was a disaster. Maybe Rand Paul, but he's kind of out there. I mean, unless somebody pops up in the next couple of years, I don't see it. I really don't. They're in trouble, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can say. They're in trouble. But, Donald, keep on doing what you're doing, dude. There's nobody going to vote for you. I'm just saying. I don't even – at this point, I mean, maybe he's just saying stuff just to be saying stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we all know that all illegal aliens are Mexican. I don't even know why he had to – use the term Mexican.
And I think that was a big issue that a lot of people had.
Idiotic.
Was the fact that he did that, you know?
Yeah. That's idiotic, really.
Talk about overgeneralization.
Right, from a billionaire. Anyway, my hot topic is a very hot topic that the video has gone viral actually in a matter of minutes, seems like. But it's the former Florida State quarterback, DeAndre Johnson, who got caught on camera punching an inebriated woman in the face. This got a lot of attention. And I'm going to simply say this. WTF. I mean, come on, dude. When did it become okay to punch a chick in the face? I'm just saying. Like, defending yourself is one thing. She was coming at you with a knife, or she had a gun, or something like that. Okay, you're defending yourself. You got no choice. But, and let's keep it real. She was probably belligerent. And then his representatives are saying that, oh, you know, she used the N-word on him, and that kind of set him off. And, you know, she had been belligerent the whole time. She was calling him names. And I said, okay, look, what society do y'all live in? Like, I get it. I grew up a certain way, and we all know that in our communities, you know, fights happen because of words. You say the wrong thing to somebody, you might as well get ready to knuckle up. It's just that simple. But in the real world, you can't live like that. You get records. You go to jail. Sometimes you go to prison for assault. Just because you don't know how to keep your hands to yourself because you don't like what somebody said to you. I'm so sick and tired of people using the N-word to justify every little thing they do. Like, I get it. Nobody likes to be called nigga by anybody. You know, I know some people use the term of endearment or whatever, but, you know, hey, really nobody likes to be called that word by anybody. They don't give you the right to punch some chick in the face. It just doesn't. If it's a dude, okay, both of y'all knuckle up, whatever. I don't feel so bad about it if he was punching another dude in the face. He punched a chick in the face like it was nothing. And before all of that happened, he rolled up on her and had her in the chokehold. I mean, People keep saying, well, she swung on him first. She swung on him first because he had it by the throat. He grabbed her by the throat. And then she swung on him and missed, and then he punched her in the face. And, like, how do you think you're going to punch a white chick in Florida and get away with? I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. That is,
really? Yes. The Republican capital of the world. You punched a white chick in Florida on camera. Man, you lucky you walking around right now. It's just stupid. Like, this mentality that, oh, you said something to me that set me off. Like, I've been seeing stuff on the news and even on ESPN out. They were almost excusing his actions because his representative said that she used the N-word. Like, well, you know, all bets are off. I'm not really excusing his actions. But when when you're in a heated environment and you're drinking and words get thrown around, things can happen. Really, things can happen. You punch a chick in the face. Like, that wasn't a dude he punched in the face. That was a chick. You just can't go out and punch a chick in the face like that. That is just stupid. He needs to be put under the jail for being stupid. Because that was stupid. And furthermore, you're 19 years old. What the hell are you doing in a bar anyway?
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be 21? So now your career, you had a promising, probably had a promising career at Florida State as being their quarterback. That's over. Because you punched a chick in the face. Yeah, I wanted to see that conversation that you had when you go home with your mama. Wonder what
right.
she's going to say about that. That's all I got for that. I just, come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. You just got to be smarter than that. But this brings me to another issue that I've had for a while. People, start teaching your children that you just can't rail up on somebody just because they say something to you. If somebody touches you, gets in your face, and invades your personal space, and you feel threatened, that's one thing. But somebody running off at the mouth at you don't give you the right to do nothing. You're going to get yourself in so much trouble reacting to everything some little smart-alecky person says to you. It's not worth it. When you become an adult, those become charges. You don't get suspended from school or dismissed from the team. No, you go to court and have a record that follows your ass. So let's stop that. Just saying, just stop it.
Amen. I mean, and you know, I'm saying that from being in the education system because a lot of times, unfortunately, the parents justify behavior such as that and say things like, well, so-and-so shouldn't have said this to my child. Or so-and-so shouldn't have, you know, and a lot of times parents would, you know, because, you know, I'm leaving administration to go back into the classroom. And so when I would deal with parents, no, I'm saying that to bring this point, because just as a teacher I wouldn't know that. But when I suspended the kid for fighting, then the parent would always try to justify it by saying, well, how are you going to suspend my kid and not the other person's kid? The other person's kid, yeah, they did say something, but your child was the one who walked across the room and put their fist in the child's face and broke their glasses and knocked the tooth out. So the other child did say something, and I'm not saying that what they said was correct, but that other child never put hands on your child. Your child was the one who walked across the room and laid the other kid flat on their ass. And parents have, you know, argued me down about that. But that's where that attitude comes from. It's taught now.
Yeah.
It's taught.
It's really prevalent to me. It's about respect. And it's about some people got this word respect confused. Oh, you disrespected me, so now I got to do something to you. No, disrespecting you is somebody putting their hands on you. Somebody physically harming you or about to harm you. You have every right to defend yourself if that's going on. But just because somebody's running off at the mouth and getting the better of you and got a higher intellect than you got, obviously, because you can't come back at them with words, so you got to come back at them with fists. Get your brain power up. Like we used to say on the basketball court, get your weight up, go to the weight room. Well, when it comes to the shooting the dozens, get your brain power up.
Right.
Learn
but
how
honestly,
to respond,
like I said,
learn how to
taught.
Respond with your words.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's taught.
One thing my sister taught me when I was growing up, My sister was really, really good at dozens. She could, oh, we used to call it scolding. She could scold your ass down, make you feel low as dirt. You know what I mean? She was just that good. Anything that you had wrong with you, she could find and pick it out, and oh, everybody would just go crazy laughing because she could pick it out and just scold you to death. But that taught me to be mentally tough. Like, and even playing ball, you know, people always talk junk or whatever. You have to be, at some point, you have to be mentally tough. You have to be able to take verbal abuse and dish it back out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, a lot of people aren't mentally equipped to dish it back out, so they got to use fists.
Right.
And like I said, while you in middle school, junior high school, you're not going to jail over it. But when you become an adult, and that's your way of solving issues, I hate it for you. You're going to have a record.
No, in high school, they get arrested.
To get a job. You know, it's going to be difficult for you to get a job, all this stuff. So
once they turn 16, here where I teach, they get arrested. So
wow. So I mean, you know, so it's really bad. So
yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, stop letting people. I used to always tell a guy that used to play ball for me when I was coaching. Stop letting people control you by their
mm-hmm.
words. You're giving control to somebody else just
mm-hmm.
because you can't control yourself because of what they're telling you. Stop it. Control
right.
yourself.
But like I said,
you know
Jody, it's a culture thing, seriously.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because
I know.
The parents are teaching the kids, and then the parents defend the children and come up to
yep.
the school ready to cuss people out when
yep.
their child gets suspended. So it's a cultural thing. It's a thing of where, you know, and I'm not just saying black. I mean culture as a whole. That seems to be how we have changed that's one way we have changed as a nation now.
Well, we ain't changed. It was like that when I was growing up. I mean,
no,
you know,
well,
like
I don't
I
know,
because
when I was growing up, my mama told me, if you start a fight, you be prepared to fight me when you get home. But if they touch you and you don't fight them back, you be prepared to fight me when you get home.
I'm just saying that the whole disrespect thing was prevalent when I was growing up.
Right. Well, but
and,
you know something else
and
has changed.
Then,
but something else that
what?
Has changed as far as that is my parents taught me you give respect regardless as to if the other person gives you respect, especially an adult, because they said that, you know, you always respect your elders, always. And if the
right.
adult is disrespecting you, then you come home and let me know, and that's the battle I'll fight. But now you got parents who tell their kids, if the adult doesn't respect my child doesn't have to respect them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
so,
crazy. But that's because
yeah.
we got kids raising kids. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And
so,
the bottom line
anyway.
Is, what
mm-hmm.
I want to tell folks, especially guys out there, look, can't go around punching women in the face. That's just ridiculous.
It's not going to go
even
well
if that,
for you.
Even, yeah, even if that had not been caught on camera, and the bad thing about it for him, it was caught on camera. And, you know, you can't. You just can't do that. I don't even care if you was totally in the right. You're not going to win. You're
no.
never going to win that fight.
Not a man on
never.
A woman.
No, never. And this was ridiculous because he was obviously physically imposing over her. And he still punched her. When I say punched her in the face. I still can't believe it. But, hey, you won't be playing for Florida State, dude. Maybe you got to go to JUCO. But anyway, junior college.
Oh,
I
hate you.
Coming up after this.
Wait, you just
Ethan.
Glossed over my topic, you turkey.
Hey, we don't have time for another topic.
You're a dirtbag.
So coming up after this, we have Antoine Floyd and Simply Shonda. Coming up. Really? Are you serious?
I'm so sorry. The little buttons moved around on me.
Hello, WTF fans. This week, you know it, we are back with some more hot reads. By Simply Shonda. No Love, Just Love Making. Parts 1, 2, and 3. The Devil's Daughters, Love and Snakes 1, and don't forget 2 that just dropped on July 4th, My Man Jamar 1 and 2, and Literary Chick 1 and 2. And by Antoine Floyd, we have Introduction to Seduction, The Last Transmission of a Gangster, Peacekeeper, The Addiction, True Love 1 and 2, Sperm Donor, Wild 100, The Tyranny of Evil, Dope Fiction Alpha Female, and Danielle Lovelace, Vigilante for Hire. All of these books are available for you to download immediately at Amazon.com for your Kindle. Happy reading! WTF with Kenitra and Jody is brought to you by Joe Ken Publications, where integrity and great stories just come together. Look for upcoming novels from Joe D. and Kenitra Jordan coming the first of the year. 2015 is going to be the year of Joe Ken.
I should probably update that ad now since we have
should, considering it's like the middle of the year. But anyway.
I know. And we have Washed Out and Sugar Free is about to come out. So,
yeah. Anyway.
I'll go ahead. I'll put that on my to-do list and have that updated. So, you know.
Yeah. Let's do that.
I'll tell you.
I believe we have some guests at the door.
Yay! I thought I was going to get to see you.
Come on in, y'all.
Hey, my applause won't work. Okay, there we go. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi,
what's going
everyone.
On, Antoine?
Hi, Shonda.
Hi, Shonda.
How are you guys tonight?
I am fantastic.
Did you guys have anything you wanted to add to the hot topics?
I did. Go ahead. The first hot topic about what was my man's name? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he have a shot at all, to be honest. And I think when you were talking about before who's going to be the Republican nominee,
mm-hmm.
I believe that it's going to be Ben Carson. I don't know if y'all heard anything about him. Yeah,
really?
Because
he's made some controversial statements as well.
I know, but he's not in the press quite like Donald Trump
right,
is.
Right.
And
gotcha. So you think people will probably forget the stuff he said?
All of those guys have said some bad things, but he's been the most mild as far as everybody else.
Yeah.
If they got to pick somebody, I think he's going to be the one they pick.
Okay.
Right.
I know the press will have a field day if they do pick him. Like, they've
right.
laid off of him so far, but wait, if he gets that nomination, oh, my gosh. Trust me, they're going to dig up every little bad thing he ever said.
I heard about your theory about it being Republican. I don't think it's going to be a Republican. I think it's going to be another Democrat.
I believe in it, too.
I think it's going to be another Democrat, but I think it's going to be a Latino.
Yeah, that's possible. Because, I mean, they are the majority right now, but the majority minority. So.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think Obama made a deal with the Latinos to get in office because I don't think he could have won without them. You saw how he won the whole college. What do you call that? California. He won California. He won with California,
and there's a lot of
Hispanics out there.
Right.
But that's just my take on it. I'm done talking about it.
Okay.
Shonda, did you want to add anything?
No, thank you. Nothing.
Okay. All right, KJ, start them off with the questions.
All right, so Antoine, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cold, I was born in Chicago.
I was born in Chicago. I grew up in Minnesota. I spent like most of my life there. But I still got people in Chicago too.
Okay, wow. Black man in Minnesota. I didn't think it was anybody in Minnesota at one time, but Prince and Kirby Puckett.
I was waiting on that one.
Was it a lot of Prince and Kirby Puckett, right? Was it a lot of us when you were growing up in Minnesota? It was? Really?
Yeah. Keeping it real, man.
Yeah.
My mom used to call it a refugee camp, because we had people from everywhere there, mostly from Chicago, from Gary, Indiana. We had people from California. We got Somalians. We got people from New York, from Detroit, because they had jobs there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people used to come there. So we had plenty of black people there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Shonda. Shonda?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, now you were on last week, so we know you're from Arkansas. So what I wanted to ask you was this. How is Love and Snakes 2 doing?
It's doing what it's doing. It's coming. It came back pretty strong. We still trying to, you know, of course you want to promote harder and harder every day, so we trying.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Tell us a little bit more about, I know you got Love and Snakes too, but tell us a little bit about some of the books that you have on your backlog, because you have a nice little impressive resume here. So
yes,
tell our listeners some of the books that they can get by Simply Shonda.
Let me see. Y'all make me feel all special and stuff. Let me see.
Hey, that's my job.
I have my very first series, which was No Love, Just Love Making. 1, 2, and 3, 4 comes out July 22nd. It's on pre-order now. I have my man Jamar, 1 and 2, with Coco Mixon. I have, of course, Love and Snakes, 1 and 2. I have Literary Chicks, 1 and 2. I think that's it. But I'm working on so much stuff. It's crazy. All my stuff is available on Amazon, and I do have paperback available also.
Okay. So if somebody wants to get a signed copy from you, how would they go about doing that?
Inbox me, call me, email me, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, LinkedIn, Autograph, Goodreads. I'm everywhere.
Okay.
We'll be looking out your window. I'm going to send you a smoke signal.
You can send me a pigeon. We cool. I can get it done.
So for those folks out there that's not like a friend of yours yet on Facebook, give them your email address, so if they want a signed copy from you, they can email you at what?
If you want a signed copy from me, you can email me at, what is my email, Jesus? I got it. It is SandraJ05@live.com. You can email my publisher, Creative Flow Publications. Hey, whatever you can do, give me. I got you, whenever.
All right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Hey,
also, Antoine, I noticed that you have quite a library yourself too. So give us your backlog and tell the listeners what they can get from you.
What do I have? My latest three are Peacekeeper, Dope Fiction, and Danielle Lovelace, Vigilante for Hire. I just released those within the past year. I also have Crew Love 1 and 2. Some short stories that are just ebooks. Wild 100, Farm Donor, and The Last Transmission of a Gangster. And I also have an anthology. You can get all my books. If you want some autographed copies, which I suggest you get, you can go to my website. It's www.bleedingpenpublishing.com.
Okay, we'll have
now,
that
are you your own?
For folks that might not have caught that or might not have caught, you know, I understand that there's sometimes sound integrity issues, but we will be posting up, we will post up the website, Antoine's website, and Shonda's email address in the group. So you can find it in the group, and also you'll be able to find it on the fan page. So we'll post that so y'all can find it. You know what I mean? If y'all are looking for it, y'all be able to find it. But go ahead, Kenitra.
I just want to know, since you said Bleeding Publications, is that a Bleeding Pen?
Bleeding Pen Publishing.
So are you your own publisher?
I am.
Oh, cool. How did you decide to do that?
I did a lot of research when I wrote my first book, Crew Love, and I weighed my options with self-publishing versus trying to submit to publishers. And that
mm-hmm.
was kind of before the big boom with how everybody coming out with books now. And
yeah.
I decided to just go that route. I never tried to submit my book to anybody. So I just researched on how to do it, what steps to take, and I did it.
So how long have you been writing, Antoine? Well, how long have you been a published writer?
2009.
Okay.
Yeah. My first book, Crew Love, actually was a screenplay. I wrote that as a screenplay, and when I discovered what the urban fiction genre, I was like, man, I can do that. So I converted my screenplay into my first book.
Was that hard to convert it?
Okay, so you got screenplay.
Yeah.
You already have that down. Like, I know a lot of authors are trying to learn how to convert their books into screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
But you already know how to do that. So
yeah,
someone
I started off doing that.
Okay, so if somebody wants to convert their book into a screenplay, could they get in touch with you, or would you be willing to help them? Would you be willing to help them do it? Like,
I can give that advice right now because I'm only tell them two things.
Okay.
One, get this book called The Screenwriter's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That book helped me. That's how I learned how to do it. The Screenwriter's Bible. And two, get this free software. It's called Celtic. Celtx. That's the only advice I have.
Okay.
That book is great. If you can't figure out how to write a screenplay from that book, that means you don't know how to read. I mean, it's that easy.
It. So, Shonda,
yes.
We know you've been writing for a minute, and you said you got a lot going on now. Are you sticking with the same genre, or are you dipping and dabbing in different places?
I am not sticking with the same genre. I don't want to ever get stuck as an author that only writes street lit or urban author or whatever. I'm currently doing a BBW. I'm doing BWWM. I'm doing romance. I'm doing it all. I'm doing everything I can get my toe and my fingers in.
All right.
That is awesome.
I feel you on that. Do you ever think that you'll go the independent publisher route?
Probably not. The reason I say that is because I love my publishing company. Like, we rock hard. I love my team so much that I can't see just being like, you know what, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this by myself. No, I'm good.
Okay.
That's awesome that you have that
kind
of experience.
I can respect that, yeah.
Yeah. And that you have that type of loyalty. Because, you know, nowadays
right.
it seems like loyalty is just a tattoo.
Indeed.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Loyalty is like a tattoo on your ass at this point because it's not even where somebody can see it. So I can totally, totally appreciate and admire that sentiment and that loyalty that you have to Creative Pen, right? Is that it, Creative Pen?
No, I am with Creative Flow Publications.
Creative Flow.
Call me Chris.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure I had it right. That's why I said that. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Cool. Quit messing with her like that. Don't mess with her like that.
He always does
do.
This to me.
That's what I
he
do.
He laughed hard, so he laughed one of them soulful laughs.
I know.
Right.
He's a bully. He is a
Whatever.
Bully.
I am not a bully.
He is a bully.
I just
play
one on the radio.
You hear him, Shonda. He's a bully. So I got a question for you. So now,
yeah.
Shonda, when you do all these different books that you've written, are you ever a character in the book?
Of course.
Really cool. Like,
I'm
how do you
character.
Do that? How do you, huh?
I'm every character. Kid you not. I'm every character in every book I've ever written.
How do you do that?
Because
how do you?
My belief is when you write in a book, you write in pieces
mm-hmm.
of your heart and your soul and your mind. That's you in the pages. That's not nobody else. That's not nobody else saying, write this down, do this. That's you all day long. Like, that's your love. So I'm in every character, every book. But literally, my literary chick, that's my whole life in those pages. That's real life right there.
Wow. Okay. So there's a little bit of you in every character.
In every character, it's something I do in every character, something I took from myself in every character I've ever written.
So
do you think that helps you to be a better author by putting yourself in, you know, because then that means you have a tie to each character.
Mm-hmm. I think when you put your soul into your pen,
mm-hmm.
I think that you connect on a different level with your readers. I feel like if you can read one of my books and it makes you look at it like it's a movie playing through your head, I did my job. I left my soul for you to look at. That's what
right.
I did for you. So you can connect with me, so you can be like, you can inbox me and be like, dude, did you really do that? Did that happen? Was that for real? Was it made up? You know what I'm saying? You don't know because it feels like it's something that could really happen. I hate
right.
books that go into this far-fetched ass shit, like it's aliens and stuff in the hood, like that don't happen. It don't happen.
Gotcha. Antoine, how about you? Are you ever a character in your book or what?
No, I am a character in real life.
Well, that you are. That you are. I'll give you that.
No, I am not a character in any of my books. I like to use my imagination, and I'm not that imaginative to put aspects of my life into my books. I'm not that thrilling.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Antoine, what type of advice would you like to give for an up-and-comer trying to get to where you are right now?
Stay consistent. Whatever you do, stay consistent. That's the best advice that I can give.
Okay.
If you have a nice buzz going when you first come on out, stay
mm-hmm.
consistent. Even if you, or if the shoe is on the other foot and it's not popping like you want it to pop, still
mm-hmm.
stay consistent. Because I learned, somebody told me a while ago, some years ago, like, I might not, because a lot of people, they interact through social media and stuff like that. And this guy told me, this other author told me, I may not say anything or comment much, but I'm watching. So be mindful of your interactions with people out there in the world and online, because people are always watching. But just stay consistent.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Shonda, how about you? What kind of advice would you like to give?
Shonda?
I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm sorry, what was the question?
What type of advice would you like to give an up-and-comer?
Oh, man. Ooh. It depends, man. Like, seriously, it depends. Because I say that because you have so many different types of people in this world, and you have so many people doing different things. And you have the people that want to be publishers, the people that want to be signed to publish, the people that want to, you know, self-publish or whatever. If you self-publish, go all in. Go all the way in. Go as hard as you can go. If you're going to sign to a publisher, listen to your publisher. Your publisher has great advice and will tell you some stuff, especially if they are vet in the game like my publisher is. Listen to them. Don't give up, because as soon as you give up, that's when it can happen. Don't ever give up, and don't ever let anybody, it's some people in this world that don't want to see nothing but people fail. Don't ever give in and give up.
God, that's gotcha. Some great advice.
That is. That's really great advice.
So
all
coming
right.
up after this,
yep.
we're going to have our main topic. Do you know when to say when? When is it over? When is that relationship done? Coming up
after
this.
Is this the one we were supposed to talk about last night? I mean,
yeah,
the other night.
Last week. Yes.
What we were supposed to talk about, we didn't.
Yes. So we'll be right back.
Because y'all wanted to talk about the 99-cent books. But anyway.
Don't go there.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. All right, Jody.
We ain't even going there this week, so.
All right, here we go.
And coming next Wednesday, July 15th at 9 o'clock p.m., tune in when we will have the fabulous Karen Lee and Sakina Rahim. See you next week.
And we are very proud to announce to you that Washed in His Blood, the very first novel to drop on our label, Joe Ken Publications, is up and running and is live in the Amazon store for you. He was a foster child, ruined by the system, betrayed by the very system that was supposed to protect him. And now he's back. And those who failed to protect him then will be the ones needing protection now. You can find Washed in His Blood at Amazon.com for purchase, either in paperback or as a Kindle. Happy reading.
Okay, now maybe this week we get to actually stay on topic so I don't have to play that song again for another week in a row. So,
that was so not funny.
No, but it's the truth. It's the truth. That's a depressing song. Oh, my goodness. But at any rate, let's get started. Jody? How do you know when a relationship is finally done and you need to walk away from it?
For me, it's quite simple. When I don't care enough to argue with you anymore, it's over. When I don't care enough to debate anything you got to say or whatever, but yeah, it's time to pack it up. Check, please. It's kaput.
Wow.
That's usually when it's over. for me.
Okay. Antoine, how about you? How do you know when a relationship is over? When do you know it is just time to move on?
When I come home and her mouth is on somebody else.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it's really over there.
I know, right?
Oh, damn. I don't know. It could be mixed signals. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Antoine, you know, we've already had this discussion. You need help, okay? We're going to encourage you to seek help. All right, Shonda, how do you know when a relationship is just done?
When I don't want to look at you no more. When I literally don't want to look at your face, and every time I look at your face, and I'm like, ugh, I got to go. You can have
you can have
whatever you bought. I got to go. When you make my phone call, it's a wrap.
I know when it's time to go because when I start wishing that you find somebody else or that the other person will find someone else, I know it's over at that point in time. I mean, there's not a prayer for it at all. Not at all. So, but now here's my next question. And if the people listening want to jump in, just press the 1 because it'll let me know that you actually want to talk on the air. Here's my question. Do you think females have a harder time letting go of a relationship than men do?
Let me take that one. I'll take that. I think here it is with females. I think, and this is just my personal opinion, obviously, but I think sometimes it appears that females, it takes them longer, and that's only because usually most females only really, really let go when they find another man. Like, when she already got something lined up, she'll drop you like a bad habit. The thing is, a female generally doesn't have anything lined up that quickly. She may hang in there a little bit longer. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness, that is so not true.
So it appears, I'm just telling you from my experience, from a lot of times a female will hang in with a good man or with someone that she deems as a good man a little bit longer, and she won't go out the house, you know what I mean, and jump into another bed so quickly because she wants to give him a chance to correct the ship or right the wrong, whatever he's doing, not doing. She generally wants to give him a chance to kind of correct things. If it's a good man, now, if it's a low-down dirty dog, she ain't going to care. You know what I mean? She's just going to go do what she's going to do. But I'm talking about a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if something's not going on right in that relationship, generally she'll give him a period of time before she just goes out there and does whatever. But it's always been my experience, and I've always seen this, that most females will leave guys when they already got another guy lined up. It's so they'll go right from one to the next.
What kind of girls you know?
I'm just saying. I've seen. That's you, y'all MO. That's y'all's MO.
Get him, Shonda. Get him.
And Shonda knows it. Shonda knows. That's y'all MO. Y'all will give over dick real quick with a
no. I don't think it's not that true. Okay. Wait, though. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you this. I personally, to me, it ain't about the penis. It's not about that. Because, really, everybody ain't got a dick thing or everybody ain't got, you know, whatever. But my thing is this. If you don't have an emotional attachment, if I don't feel nothing for you, I can walk out the door tomorrow. I ain't got to wait. Somebody else will come eventually, but I ain't got to wait. If I don't like you, my fiance, I literally broke up with him because I didn't want to sleep in the same bed with him no more. I couldn't stand, like, everything about him made my skin crawl. I was like, and we have been together 5 years. Everything about this man made my, at that point, it really literally happened overnight. Nothing big happened. It was just I didn't like him anymore. I had fell completely out of love with this person. I wasn't cheating on him. He wasn't beating on me. Nothing. I just couldn't I ain't love him no more. So guess what? I packed my stuff and I went back to my mama house, and she was like, come on, your room back there.
Now, just out of curiosity, how old were you? Because I have a theory.
I was 21.
My theory is everything I said is null and void when you're talking about youngsters, because young women are fickle by nature. Y'all were born fickle, and y'all will be fickle until you get to like 30 or 35.
I don't think it's that. If I could go back to them years, I would never have gotten moved in with him. I would have never gotten engaged. I would have never done any of that stuff, because now I realize it was my years to kick it and do whatever I wanted to do. But at the same time, I don't regret it, because it taught me so much about myself. Yeah, if I could go back, I wouldn't have did it, but at the same time, I don't really regret it, because it taught me so much about myself and what I wanted out of life and who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and he just wasn't it. I mean, he wasn't it.
Well, at least you found out at 21 and not like at 27, 28, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think women have a harder time letting go. Because I don't agree with Jody talking about some waiting for another guy to come around. Because to me,
really?
What Jody said, yes, to me, what Jody said is that old cliche, to get over one guy, you just hop on another dick. No, I don't agree with that. I think that females really try to stick in there, and they try to see if they have done everything they can do to make the relationship work before they finally let go. And then I think there's a part of the female that really hopes that this guy will change, he'll become what she wants him to be, or he'll change back to what he used to be when she first married him.
I think you have to put in age sequences too, because females react. See, here's the real difference between men and women. Men pretty much look for the same thing. It doesn't matter if they're 21, 25, 30, 35, 40. It's pretty consistent what we like. Women, their whole mentality changes from different ages. Like from 21, a woman is looking at a guy differently than she is at 25 and at 26. And then when she's 30, she's looking at him differently. When she's 35 and 40, she looks at him differently. So her whole perception of what she wants changes. That's why a lot of women, to be honest with you, start to cheat when they get older. You'll find some who cheat when they're young because they just, like I said, they just experience some things and they just out there just to be out there. But I'm talking about women who are a one guy, woman, and who are in relationships. Generally, they start to cheat when they get to be about 35 to 40 because what has satisfied them up until that point no longer satisfies them. And their motivations are different.
All right, so then if we go by your logic.
It's not my logic. It's just logic. It's not my logic. It's just logic.
You can do
the research yourself. The statistics are there. More women cheat at the age of 35 or 40 who have been in relationships than women who cheat who are like 25, I think it's 25 to 35. Most women 25 to 35 don't cheat as much as women who are 35 to 45. That is fact. You can look it up.
I'm going to have
so
you.
That's not
do
my
that
logic.
For...
That came from the Kinsey Institute, I believe.
From the who
can I answer the question now?
Kinsey.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Antoine.
Go ahead, Antoine.
Okay, look. Y'all all have valid points, but you're all wrong. neither man or woman, you can't say who cheats the most. What was the original question?
Well, the original question is, how do you know when it's over?
Oh, how do you know when it's over? Okay.
But then we abridged it.
You can't say neither man or woman.
this is what I say. The person who has the most, the person who cares the least has the most power. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I agree.
That's true.
So
Very true.
It can go both ways, man or woman. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I got a question, though. I got a quick question. Y'all watching the Unsung with Escape Tonight? Anybody watching it?
It's on DVR.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one that was. Okay.
Shonda, you are a character.
Okay.
You know what? My label mate just told me that like 10 minutes ago.
You are a character.
I'll watch it later.
Yes. But I just want you to know you are a character, Shonda.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It was. It was a compliment. But you are a character.
But I definitely agree with what Antoine was saying, that the person who cares the least has the most power. That's generally the situation. But
yeah.
I still will stick by my guns that a woman is more apt to leave. Like, it always trips me out. You can always tell, like you know, your buddies might say, hey, I think my wife or my girlfriend is cheating on me. And the first thing I always say is, where does she work and who does she work around? Because you can always say, because most folks cheat at work. Be honest.
Your theory has a flaw in it. Your theory
flaw
has a flaw. When you say a woman is more apt to cheat when she already has something lined up, that means
no,
that
she's more apt to leave, not cheat. More apt to
leave
you. Got something more lined up.
To leave you when she has something lined up.
Yeah.
I believe that has a flaw because I remember I called in one night and spoke with y'all, and you agreed that, I think you're the one who said it, most women always have a man who they know they can get with in the cut. So it don't matter if he's...
Oh, that friend, yeah, that friend, what did I call it, that dick in a glass jar. Yeah,
so,
I remember that.
So she always have something lined up. So that theory kind of got a hole in it.
Well, not necessarily, because some people only use that friend in desperate situations.
Get him.
You know what I mean?
It's like a fire hydrant break in case of an emergency.
Right. Some of them just use that
Lord.
In case of emergency. You know what I mean? Everybody don't always go to that friend. But what I'm saying is, usually, when a woman is ready, when a woman is fed up with you as a man, she's usually so fed up with you, trust me, she already got somebody. She already got somebody in mind she going to move on to. Generally, women just don't move on without being nothing out there. They generally just don't step out into the void and there'd be nothing for them to land on. Now, there's exceptions to the rules. I mean, I don't want to get all these inboxes from women saying, well, it ain't me. I leave them in the army. Yeah, I know. There are exceptions to the rules. But generally speaking, most women do what they don't leave relationships that they're comfortable in unless something else is on the back burner. It just
That's
won't.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
Come be uncomfortable.
Go pull your friends. Go pull your ass your friends, your girlfriends.
That's not true because my friends are real women. Because real women will walk away from the situation for real
now,
reasons.
I'm not talking about abusive situations. I'm not talking about like the dude cheating on you like 20
times
or he's beating on you. I'm just saying it's a relationship.
But most real women will be upfront and be like, this is not what I want no more. Regardless if I got somebody on the back burner or not, my thing is this. If you want to leave, just make sure your ducky's in a row. Make sure your money saved up in the bank. Make sure you good. If you want to leave, don't leave because of another dude. Don't leave because you got another dude. Leave because, okay, I'm good on my own. I got this on my own. But leave straight up. Don't leave. And how this man, because I wouldn't want nobody doing that to me. So I'm going to leave straight up. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be with you no more. I'm not going to sneak around you. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be with you no more.
And in a perfect world, that would happen over and over. But that doesn't happen over and over. What generally happens is, usually the person that gets cheated on because somebody just started something else. That's generally what happens. Let's keep it real.
I don't know. because, I mean, we could have this conversation with, you know, two more other people. We could replace you and put another dude right there or put another girl right there, and they're going to be like, dude, she more. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's, to me, I agree with him. Women cheat, men cheat. I mean, they, we lie. I mean, you know.
Yes, they do.
Women will lie. Women will lie because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yes, they will.
I'll do it. I will lie because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'll lie and say you the finest man in the world if you jumping, if you about to jump off the bridge. I'm going to lie to your face and be dead ass serious about it.
But men do the same thing. We lie because we don't want to hurt your feelings too. The difference is y'all don't believe that. Y'all just say we just lie because we just lie. But most of the time when men lie to women, they lie because they don't want to hurt your feelings either.
I believe it to an extent, because men will lie to an extent, and I suggest women will lie to an extent too. I'll lie because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I ain't gonna lie because I want to get in trouble, because you can't get me in trouble. If you leave me, you probably gonna come back. But I mean,
now why is he gonna come back?
Because
you gotta like that,
Shonda. Yes, I'm a great woman. Thank you very much.
We're gonna have Shonda back on, y'all. I can see it now. We're gonna have Shonda. Shonda might end up being the weekly guest of this show.
I told my son Daddy you can marry me because I'm awesome.
Yes, we might have to put Shonda on the panel because this is fun. And I love how she just gets on Jody's case and puts Jody in his place. It makes me feel so warm.
She put me in my place. It's a healthy debate. What are you talking about?
Whatever.
You
makes
kill me,
feel...
I always think of somebody putting me in my place because you
That's
can't
right.
do
makes
it.
Me... Makes me feel warm and toasty inside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like
right.
you, Shonda. I like you, Shonda. You rock. But
I
know.
I'm trying to tell people that, and they don't believe me. I'm glad you said it.
You got that, now. You got some. You have some footage that you can play for them now. Somebody actually said that, so you can play that for them.
Thank
Tanisha.
You. And it's gonna be my ringtone as soon as I figure out
there
how
to
do it.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
It's kind of off topic. I want to know if it's true or not. I'm seeing something trending right now. Is it true that the new fad now is the women not shaving their underarms?
I talked about that a few weeks ago. A lot of women are trying to go away from shaving their underarm hair or body hair, period, because they feel like because you have recent studies that have been released that have shown a link from shaving your underarms and using deodorant that link to breast cancer and lymphoma from the lymph nodes that are underneath the arms. And so you have a lot of females now who are saying they're just not going to shave under their arms. I just hope that they're not wearing tank tops and sleeves and shirts.
Y'all better wax up, something.
Yeah, my thing is, why do you got to, like, okay, if you don't shave up on your arms, are there other alternatives? Don't they have, like, laser surgery, lasers or something, and waxing? You don't necessarily have to shave.
I'm not for
that.
No,
your wax.
Mm-mm.
I heard about
mm-mm.
the
I'm just telling
the,
you, I don't want no wolf
on the deodorant. I heard about the deodorant causing breast cancer. I heard about that. But I don't see how the shaving affects it, because they have different alternatives you can use other than those deodorants.
Well, the way it works is this. You shave your underarms. Most females shave their underarms. And then what happens is when you shave, you do realize you're actually cutting skin cells when you're shaving with that razor. So the pores are wide open. Then you go and you put on deodorant, and deodorant has certain toxins in it. So you shave, you open up the skin, you put the deodorant there, you are allowing those toxins directly into the bloodstream at that point, and then over time it can lead to, you know, it can lead to breast cancer. So that's why you got the whole...
I can understand all that. I understand all that, but what I'm saying is, they have different alternatives than old deodorants. That's what I'm saying.
Right, right. Because they have all natural stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, ladies, shave all the hair you can. Don't keep that. It's not a good look. Get all the hair.
I'm going to answer on that.
I feel blessed.
Go ahead, Sean. What were you going to say?
And I don't want to offend anyone. I don't, but I got a question. Hey, what's up with all these alpha male books? Is that a new thing that I missed out on?
What's with what?
Like, you know, like the alpha male books. Like, it's a bunch of them floating around. I just thought I had missed out on a trend or something. Yeah, you didn't see them?
Nah, what's alpha male?
I don't know. I was trying to ask y'all. I thought y'all might know.
Oh,
I don't know.
No, I don't even know what it is. What's an alpha male book?
Hell, I don't know. I don't know.
I have no clue what an alpha male book is.
Hey, I got another question. This is my last question, though. All right. It's my last question. My last question is, do you guys feel like it's weird to name a book after a song or lyrics in a song?
I try to stay away from it, yeah.
I don't think it's weird, though. I think...
Yeah, it just depends. I mean...
I think you can name a book
okay.
after anything you want to name it after. I mean, it's
you
a book
because you can't copyright a title. Honesty, Washed in His Blood, my book is out right now. It is a play on words from a hymnal. It is. He's a killer, and when he kills, he sings a certain hymnal that he was... that his foster mother sang to him when he was a child. So every time he kills somebody, that's the song he sings. But you won't understand, you don't understand the lyrics he sings until you get to the very end of the book, and that's when I tie the whole riddle up. But the title does rest in an old song, public domain song, by the way, because I'm not with these other authors who put lyrics in their books that are copyrighted. No.
But don't you feel like it's not very creative to name your book after, like, a Drake song?
Here's
what I don't get about that, because I've seen that particular post in other groups when people are discussing people putting song titles in their books and, you know, they're talking about creativity. What? My question to you is, why is that about creativity? I don't get it. It's just the title of a book. in the book. It's just the title of the book.
I think what Sean is trying to say is that, like, for me, coming up with the title for Washed, that was fun. Trying to find a way that I could shock people, trying to find a way that I could bring that, trying to find a way that I could give you that, shit. Moment when you got
we
to the
live.
Point where you understood what the title was. I think that's what she's talking about as far as the creativity, as far as the thought that the author puts into giving you that oh shit moment.
We live in the land of the titles of My Baby Daddy Ain't Shit and Neither Is the Bitch He Fucking. That is actually the title of a book.
You're wrong for that.
That is the landscape that we live in right now. So if that could be the title of a book,
everywhere.
But what I'm saying is, if that can be the title of a book, anything can be the title of a book.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to jump on nobody bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like I don't want to jump on nobody bandwagon. Like, I had a conversation with a girl the other day. She was like, I want to name my book Thoughts Empire or some shit like that, right? So I was like, you know I'm me. By now, y'all know I'm me.
Hey, yeah. Well, we know you read
like,
it. What'd you say?
I didn't. Don't do me like that. I thought you was my friend. Don't do me like that.
I'm coming out with my next book, Pregnant with... My Man's Father's Baby, Part 2. I should have swallowed.
What?
I'm going to have to clock out on y'all. That was just a little too much for me. And I mean,
y'all didn't like that
title?
That's
a lot.
I will. There's one thing I do want to say before we go. What is the fascination with putting thoughts in the title of in book titles now, like It seemed like a couple of years it was B-I-T-C-H. Everybody was using bitch. Mm-hmm. Bitch this, bitch that, bitch. Now it's like sock. So what's the fascination?
Because I was always be over there. I don't know.
That is funny to me, actually. Like, people, they, you know, it's like you can find all kind. All you got to do is Google, like, books and thoughts, and you come up, you see, like, 100 damn titles with thoughts in the title. You know?
Because them hoes be over there. You know what
it
is.
I guess.
I say, you know what? You guys are horrible at staying on topic.
I know, right? We just totally
I'm
off topic.
I'm sorry. My bad. I'll keep asking questions. My bad. You know me.
It's okay.
Like I said, Simply Shonda may end up being she may end up being a weekly contributor. We'll work something out with, you know.
Probably.
Her publishing company.
Because this is too much fun having you on. It really is. I have to tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Antoine has been holding his own, too. So, we got, you know.
Yeah, Antoine is.
Hey, Antoine, I want you to know, Crew Love was on point. I read that before I was even an author. Yes, before I was even an author, when I was just a reader, I read that. That's one of my very first books on my Kindle.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Love authors, supporting authors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I keep telling you, the 80s are calling. They want their vernacular back. So before we go, y'all go out and support Antoine Floyd, Dope Fiction, Simply Shonda, Love and Snakes 2. We'll post the links and everything up on the fan page, and we'll have, like, the website and the email address and the groups. Anything else y'all want to add before we get out of here?
Nothing for me.
No, I think that's everything.
All right, y'all. See y'all next Wednesday. Check us out, KJ.
Yay!